You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com. Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
You've heard it for years. Teeth need to be brushed at least twice a day. But your dogs? Just because you've owned dogs for years and never brushed their teeth doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. Just because your pet has never had its teeth brushed before doesn't mean it can't be done. Though brushing a pet's teeth is the gold standard for proper oral hygiene, other options exist that will help your pet nibble away at dental disease. Dr. Andrew Schreibman, a technical senior veterinarian for Mariel, reveal how foul breath can pollute the entire body with disease-causing organisms and could potentially shorten your pet's lifespan. He'll also share an easy, tasty way to prevent it. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Not pumped about cleaning the litter box? Try World's Best Cat Litter Zero Mess, the litter that gives you 2 times better clumping and more odor control with less litter. That's right, you scoop once and you're done. No chiseling, no scraping, no crumbling, no problem. Looking for fast and easy litter box cleanup? Zero Mess. Try it. You're welcome in advance. Save $2 on World's Best Cat Litter. Visit www.saveonworldsbest.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Schreiben, thank you very much for being with us today. This is something I think a lot of people don't think about.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, let's start. How common is dental disease? You know, so many of my clients come in and I start showing them, oh, here's some tartar here. And it's like, big deal. You know, I've had dogs, I've never had their teeth cleaned, or cats never had their teeth cleaned.
It's very common in dogs. Studies have shown that up to 80% of dogs over the age of one have some form of periodontal disease.
All right, fancy term. Periodontal, what's that? You think about the slime and the stuff that you build up on the teeth, the calculus, but what's periodontal?
Periodontal just literally means around the tooth. So it's disease of the tooth and its support structures, such as the gums, the ligaments, the structures that hold the tooth into place in the jaw, and any other disease inside the mouth.
And we were talking a little bit about, you know, bad breath. People have bad breath every once in a while. Okay, maybe it's something that you ate. You need to brush your teeth more. Use a little bit of mouthwash. But dogs have bad breath, and it seems like that's just kind of part of being a dog. What causes it?
Well, many pet owners do think that bad breath is quote-unquote normal in dogs, but it's actually a sign of more serious dental disease, such as plaque and calculus buildup. Bad breath is actually the result of waste products produced by overgrowth of bacteria in the mouth.
And I've heard the term, people probably have heard the term biofilm. And it sounds rather bizarre that this film of something living is, you know, someplace in your body, biofilm on the body, on your skin, biofilm in the mouth. What makes up the biofilm and what problems can it cause?
Well, plaque in the mouth is actually a form of biofilm. Biofilm is made up of bacteria in the mouth, salivary glycoproteins that the dog secretes in its saliva, waste products from unchewed food, and other accumulation of debris that just collects and it forms this matrix that the bacteria in. The biofilm, the plaque, actually protects the bacteria and allows them to grow.
I also have a way of somewhat shocking small children when they come in, because I love it. When a parent brings in the pet, and brings in the child with him at the same time. And I'll usually have him come up to the exam table and say, okay, you're going to help me do this. Let's, you know, start from one end, work to the other, and we'll start looking in the mouth and showing him the plaque that's on the teeth and the calculus if it's there, and talk to him about brushing teeth and why it's so important to do. I said, you brush your teeth, don't you? He's like, uh-huh, and you brush it at least twice a day, don't you? And the parents are going, yeah, you're not so much. I said, well, one of the reasons you want to do it is stuff that you brush off your teeth, you know, biofilm. Biofilm, as you're saying, made up all these glycoproteins and saliva and bacteria. I says, and it has bacteria poop in there too. And they get this look like, oh my goodness, I got poop in my mouth. And that really seems to get across to them sometimes why they need to brush their teeth, because they got to get the poop out of there. So the biofilm is in the mouth. You have this periodontal disease. Okay, so you have some stinky breath. But why is it really important to get these teeth clean? What are some of the long-term ramifications?
The whole point of brushing, as you many people do, is to cut down the restrictive buildup of this biofilm of this plaque. And left unchecked, plaque just then progresses to more troublesome issues, such as the bacteria then in the plaque and underneath the gums cause gingivitis, which is literally inflammation of the gums, periodontitis, which is inflammation of the support structures. This can not only lead to bad symptoms like bad breath, but actually the bacteria then can get into the bloodstream from the mouth, and blood goes to every other organ in the dog's body. And hence we see a lot of diseases of organs that you might not think are related to the mouth. For example, dogs with moderate periodontal disease are 6 times more likely to have heart disease. They're much more likely to have kidney disease and liver problems. They're also more likely to have arthritis. Dogs with diabetes that have periodontitis are harder to manage. And many other diseases are positively linked with the progression of periodontal disease in dogs. So it's not just a mouth problem, it's a whole body problem. In fact, studies in people have shown that people with moderate periodontal disease have a shorter life expectancy than moderate smokers.
Wow. Against smokers, I don't think I've ever heard those kind of stats. That's amazing.
It's a very severe disease, both in people and pets, and that's why we brush our teeth, and we should brush them after every meal. But as you say, some children may only brush their teeth once a day. But that's why dentists recommend that we brush our teeth after meals to restrict the buildup of plaque. And that's why, ideally, the whole key to managing periodontal disease in dogs is the reduction and prevention of this plaque building up to the problems that it develops into.
Now, it's interesting because I was doing a little bit of research prior to this conversation we're having, and there is a group of board-certified veterinary dentists, and they were talking about how frequently you should brush your pet's teeth. I ask my clients all the time, how often do you brush your pet's teeth? And they give me this look. It's like, really? I said, well, you know, I do it once a week. I said, or I do it whenever I take my dog. I have it done whenever I take my dog to the groomer. So let's say, all right, you take your dog to the groomer every 6 to 8 weeks. So if one of our years is about 5, 7 years, somewhere in that range of time, and you brushed your teeth maybe every 2 or 3 months, I don't think I'd be standing as close to you as I'm standing right now. And they get this realization that dental cleaning that they're doing at home once a week, or taking it to the groomer and having it done every month or so, just isn't doing it. But it's not easy to brush a dog's teeth. How do you recommend clients start?
Well, it's not easy to brush a dog's teeth because for many of them, they're adult dogs and they're just not used to the sensation. It can be uncomfortable. Oh, what's going on? What's this thing in my mouth? What's, you know, that toothpaste? They're not sure what it is. They don't know that it's good for them. And if they're not used to it, it can be uncomfortable for them. But I think the best thing is to start as young as possible with puppies. Using the proper technique, using a toothbrush that is designed for dogs, that has the right bristle texture, not using a human toothbrush, and obviously using a toothpaste designed for dogs. The technique that is recommended is that the bristles be angled at 45 degrees. This has been shown to have the best effect at reducing scrubbing off the plaque, but also in minimizing the discomfort to the dog.
And I know we've been talking about dogs, but cats also need to have their teeth taken care of too.
Yes, dental disease is an issue for cats as well. And cats, probably even less so than dogs, don't really tolerate having their teeth brushed.
One of the things I found for especially dogs with little mouths or cats, because trying to get a toothbrush in there or your finger in there that you can sometimes use with even a wash rag wrapped around it for a dog, for a kitty, it's like there's only so much room in this mouth of mine, guys, and your finger is not going to work, is using just a regular Q-tip. So a cotton swab that you'd use for cleaning out your ears, you can just slide that underneath the gums or underneath the lips. You can't really see what you're doing, but you can feel it. And I've always felt it's kind of better than nothing.
Yeah, it may be better than nothing. To be honest, I've never really seen anything published about using alternative methods for removing plaque during brushing a dog's or cat's tooth. The key is that you have to restrict the buildup of the plaque. And obviously something I think is better than nothing, but that's why we have toothbrushes on the market that are designed to get the most efficient use of cutting down and removing plaque.
When you go to the pet stores or you look at dog magazines and all these various ads, there's umpteen ads for all sorts of different treats and snacks and water supplements. And there have been times I've looked in a pet's mouth going, oh my goodness, these are absolutely gorgeous white teeth, or they're white teeth and they just have all the tips of the teeth broken off, going, what have you been feeding your dog? Oh, it loves cow hooves or antlers. Antlers seem to be a real big thing these years to have pets chew on. What are your feelings about dogs chewing on things like cow hooves and antlers?
Well, there's never really been anything that I've seen published that shows the efficacy of animal byproducts at cutting down the accumulation of plaque. There's not really a lot to market a product for dental health. You don't really have to show a lot, and there's a lot of confusion out there in marketing and advertising. There is one organization, the Veterinary Oral Health Council, VOHC is their abbreviation, that has taken it upon themselves as an organization of veterinary dentists to look at the data and give a seal of approval for products that are actually approved to impact dental health.
I get concerned sometimes when people are feeding these antlers and cow hooves because they just seem to be so hard. What's the feeling of you as a technical veterinarian for how hard something should be? How do you know if it's too hard?
Well, that's a really good question. And the best answer I can give you is that it depends. I think that all of many veterinarians like myself who are in practice, we have seen teeth that have been damaged or fractured by eating things that really aren't designed for dogs to chew on, such as cow hoofs, etc. One of the other things that can occur is that you also might have some hidden pathology or some sort of non-apparent disease that, for example, a dog with a healthy mouth might be able to handle some of those treats without an issue. But let's just say we have a dog that has a fracture or some gingivitis that isn't apparent to the owner. Well, then the dog can't handle one of these tools that isn't, or like a dental hoof, like a cow hoof that isn't really designed for chewing. And then that can exacerbate some disease that's already there. So it might be too hard for that dog and just fine for a dog that's healthy.
I guess I'm always a little bit concerned if it's that hard. Yes, it does seem to do a mechanical great job to get rid of what's on the surface. But these broken teeth, sometimes it has damaged the tooth where the tooth is now wiggly, mobile underneath that gum line. And just from the outside, it looks pretty decent. My usual recommendation for a client is if you get your thumbnail and if you can't depress a spot in that chew, it's probably a little bit too hard. Maybe you should back away and try something different. Maybe something a little bit safer for that dog's mouth.
Well, I think that's a great rule of thumb, no pun intended, to determine that.
And some of the other over-the-counter products. There's so many of these different liquids that you can put into the water that you see the before and after picture. It's like, wow, I think I'm going to start using that myself. It looks wonderful. You have this calculus, this concrete that's on a dog's tooth, and then a month later, the calculus is all gone. What are your feelings on that? I'm concerned of what's it doing internally to the pet.
Well, I guess I tend to be a bit of a skeptic at heart. Anybody can put together a commercial or put together an ad showing something's great, but I like to look at scientific data and studies that have been published in a controlled setting where you have a product that is studied and measured its efficacy objectively.
Well, I wish they had that for wrinkle cream. I would have purchased so many fewer products over the years. But yes, sometimes you have to bow to people who've done the research, such as yourself, Dr. Schreiben. So I appreciate that. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. We've been chatting right now with Dr. Andrew Schreibman. He is a senior technical veterinarian for Mariel. We're going to be right back after the short break and talk about other ways that you can keep your dog's breath fresh and teeth healthy. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Conica, the German Shepherd that I rescued, was stinky, skinny, and scrawny, full of skin rashes and scratching. And I started feeding Conica Dynavite, and he became such a happier, itch-free, stink-free dog. I dug deeper into the website.
DINOVITE.com.
What if in addition to Dynavite, we do the raw beef and the egg diet and see what happens? Forget all these 50-pound bags, the formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways. This dog's as close to a wolf as you can get. They're carnivores. With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dynavite and Super Omega on top of it, it just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit. It's unbelievable. Hey, if you're thinking about rescuing a dog, you got to start them out on Dynavite, DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Hi, I'm Dana Humphrey, the founder of Whitegate PR. We have been specializing in PR and marketing in the pet industry for over 10 years. If you have a pet product or service you would like to promote, give us a call. We can help create awareness for your brand on TV, radio, magazines, newspapers, and blogs. Feel free to reach me directly at 619-414-9307 or learn more on our website at whitegatepr.com or follow us on Facebook.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Schreiben, thank you so much. I mean, we've been talking about all the things that we kind of have to be careful of, why we should brush the teeth, why bad breath just isn't normal, and why you do need to have your pet's teeth cleaned. How often do you need to have your dog or cat's teeth cleaned professionally?
Many of the board-certified dentists will say to do a dental prophy at least once a year, and actually even 2 to 3 times a year, particularly as the dog enters middle age and his or her geriatric years. Pretty similar to the recommendations we have with people. Those recommendations are based on if there is some daily home care being performed by the owner at home, which unfortunately isn't the case for a lot of dogs. So you see a lot of dogs that get dentals even, that are recommended to have dentals even more frequently.
I'm always amazed looking at some of these pets' teeth and going, oh, all right, well, I guess you just had the pet's teeth cleaned someplace else because they look wonderful or it's a new client. Gee, you must have had it done at your previous veterinarian going, oh, no, it's 12 years of age, it's never had their teeth cleaned. And then you have another dog, as you were saying, was 80% of dogs and cats by the age of 3 have some form of periodontal disease.
Yeah, that's important to know. A lot of people will just look at the teeth and think, oh, the teeth look shiny, they look white, there's nothing going on there. And really, one of the benefits of having a professional cleaning done is that not only can we maintain the health of the tooth, but we can also detect disease that isn't readily apparent. Gingivitis, again, is the first step in the progression of periodontal disease. And gingivitis really isn't apparent to the naked eye a lot of times. It can be detected on a thorough examination. We can measure pockets on the teeth. You know, we've all gone to the dentist and we've all heard them probe our teeth with a probe and then call out the little numbers. And obviously we want a pocket of 3 millimeters or less. And that's what we look for in dogs as well. And you just can't do that from a simple cursory visual examination of the teeth. So a lot of times there's disease there, even though it might not be apparent from just looking at the teeth that look pretty healthy on their own.
And most people, when they look at their dog's teeth, you know, they lift up the lips in front and they look at those little guys, the incisors, those baby teeth, and they go, oh, see, they look fine. And so many times they do. And then I'll pull that lip back without opening the mouth and pulling the lip back towards the ear, kind of up and towards the ear, and going, look at the molars. Oh, I never looked back there. I had no idea. And the gums can be red, and there's just this tremendous amount of plaque. And then I'll, if possible, I'll chunk off a piece of the tartar. Is that the tooth going? No, that's tartar. And then the gum is bleeding, and they're all concerned, and they're setting up that appointment for the dentistry. It's like, yes, you have to check all of the teeth and check them frequently. And sometimes, like I'm sure it's happened to you too, you know, Andrew, you go into your dentist and they're looking around, they're taking radiographs, and they go, oh, well, you have the early start of a tooth root abscess, or you need a root canal here. It's like, it feels just fine, doctor. What are you talking about? And yep, there's so much, you're right, that's going on under that gum line, hiding behind those lips, that too many clients are just not aware of.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Clients don't typically look at that. As you say, they might flip the lip and see the incisors or the canines, but they won't see the molars or the premolars. And historically, that's where we tend to see the biggest aggravation of plaque and tartar.
I know that Mariel has come out with a product, because brushing's not easy, trying to make it. You don't want to traumatize your dog by, you know, getting there and trying to brush its teeth and it's fighting you, and this is just not a good situation. So starting early is great. But what are some of the things that Marielle has come up with that now can really help a dog's teeth?
Well, we recognize that brushing is the ideal, but many people will not brush their dog's teeth. But one thing people do like to do for their dogs is to give them a treat. So we've actually designed a dental hygiene chew that works to improve the oral health of dogs, that makes it in a form that's very palatable and pleasurable for the dogs, and it's pleasant for the clients to give it to their pet.
That sounds awesome. But you go to the pet store, and there are so many other dental chews and these other green things that are out there, have been out there for a long time. It's like, all right, why is an Orvet dental hygiene chew different than this product over here? And boy, this one over here is a heck of a lot less.
Well, it's I think it goes back to that old saying, you get what you pay for a little bit. And we do have the chews competitively priced, but what makes them different, to get back to your question, is that one, there is an abundance of objective scientific research that's been done, and it's been proven in both a laboratory and a field setting. And also, unlike a lot of the products on the counter where they may work one way, for example, a rinse might be antibacterial, or a dental treat might work on a physically removing the plaque, the Orvet dental hygiene chews actually have a dual mechanism of action, which really distinguishes them from anything else on the market. First, the chews actually prevent bacterial attachment, and bacteria really are the starting point for plaque, calculus, bad breath, leading to periodontal disease. But then also the action of the chews themselves, the motion of the teeth going in and out of the chew, works to loosen and dislodge plaque and helps remove it from the teeth.
So it somewhat makes, if I think of it simplistically, it makes the tooth slipperier. So the enamel slipperier. So bacteria can't glom onto that tooth. So if it can't glom on, you just kind of swallow it away and it goes out the other end. And then any plaque that's there, because the chew, it helps break that away and helps push that through the other end.
That's an excellent way of putting it. The active ingredient, delmopinol, makes the tooth slipperier. We have one of those 10-cent words in medicine, and we call it a surfactant, that helps form a protective barrier on the teeth that blocks the bacterial from attaching, and then the rest of the chew helps break off the loosened plaque away.
So if I chew on that for my afternoon snack, probably good for me too. All right, I think about that one.
Well, I've tried it. Delmopinol has actually been used in human medicine for several decades now. It does come in as an oral rinse. It's not one of those things you go to a drugstore and purchase, but companies do sell Delmopinol rinses to human dentists, or actually all dentists are humans, but to dentists who practice on people. So the companies make Delmopinol rinses for dentists to prescribed to their human patients. It actually helps people who brush, makes it more effective in managing plaque removal. There's nothing in the chew. None of the other ingredients, all those other ingredients are commonly found in pet food and in dog food. And I tried the chew myself. It has a pleasant vanilla scent that goes away, and then it just tastes like dog food. I wouldn't recommend trying it, but I've tried it.
Well, that's good to know that you're sharing. Well, you'd probably be large dog size, but when you go to the pet stores and you look at these various treats, they come in different sizes. Now, Orvet, correct me if I'm wrong, also has various sizes.
Yes, it comes in four relatively low-calorie sizes, basically designed because obviously a beagle's mouth and teeth are very different from, say, a Labrador Retriever's teeth. So we offer size ranges for dogs 4 to 10 pounds, 10 to 24 pounds is a small size, 25 to 50 pounds, medium size, and over 50 pounds, a large size.
So if you had I have two dogs at home, and I got the big kid that's over 50 pounds, and I have a little doglet, the small kid, who's all of 6. Can I just get that 50-pound one and cut it in half or cut it in quarters and give it to my little dog too?
Well, we don't recommend doing that. The chews, it's not only the size, but actually the shape of the chews is proportionally designed for each size as well. Also, it's fairly difficult to cut through the chew. It has this stiff, firm consistency that once it gets into a dog's mouth and mixes with saliva and teeth going into it, it dissolves fairly easily. But to just cut it dry with a knife, for example, it's going to be very difficult. That's why we offer them in the different sizes.
And there are some dogs that tend to inhale first, think later. So if you have a dog that is just one of these gulping type of dogs, how long does it have to have a contact time in that mouth to really do any good? Because, boy, you'd love to have it sit there and be an all-day sucker, but some of these dogs aren't going to have that happen.
Well, that's an excellent point. Some dogs just like the taste so much, or they just like any food product so much, they'll gulp it right down. We have some data that shows we really want some contact of at least 10 to 15 seconds of the domopinol. That releases the domopinol and gets it throughout the mouth, and you're going to get some benefit from that. And obviously, the longer they work on the chew, the green part that helps scrape away plaque, the better the benefit will be. The good news is the domopinol lasts, and just regular chewing will help cut down on plaque accumulation. So the domopinol itself provides some benefit. But yes, the longer they chew, the longer contact with the chew, the more benefit owners will see.
We do carry the Orvet chews in my practice, and clients have loved it, and the dogs just think it's a treat, and I tell the pet owners, don't tell them it's something that's good for them. Just let them think that it's something fun. But many of them have given me this pushback going, wait a minute, it's green like that other product that was out several years ago and it caused a lot of dogs to die because of the way that it broke down in the body. How do you answer those concerns?
Well, there is a little bit of a confusion. There is another product that is green that has some similarity to it. I just answer the concerns that if I were still in practice today, I would assure the owners that this is a product that has been tested for several years on both laboratory dogs, on employees of Mariel, whose own dogs have taken the chew, and then now it's been in the field for quite some time now, and it has an excellent safety record. I can't speak to other products that are on the market because I just don't know about their data. Mariel does fully stand behind the chew, and it is guaranteed. And as with any other product, we want to hear about any adverse events that may occur, and we'll do our best to support them.
And how often should these dental oral hygiene chews be given? Because we know we want them to brush twice a day.
The chews are designed to be given on a once-a-day protocol. And that's how we designed our studies for efficacy. That's how we decided to determine the amount of domopinol that goes in each chew. So they're meant to be given once a day. It doesn't really matter what time of day. You just want to be consistent with what time during the day you give it.
That sounds easy enough. So you want to give some love and here's the treat. So as you're sitting there watching TV, going, okay, pup, here's your toothbrush. Start chewing on it, which is actually the dental chew. Sounds wonderful. I know that we sell it at our practice, and I believe that it's only available through your veterinarian. Why?
Well, Mariel, we consider dental periodontal health to be, it's really managing the prevention of disease. And that's why we're only selling the Orvet dental hygiene chews through veterinarians that have accounts with Mariel. If owners need help finding a veterinarian, we do have a vet finder tool on the website, oravet.com, where they can research and find a veterinarian in their area. Most veterinarians can order the product as well from Mariel.
Good. So there's really not a pushback. It's not going to be difficult for somebody to get their hands on this product that can really make a difference. Dr. Schreibman, if there is one takeaway message for a pet owner listening to you right now, what would that be?
Well, I just want to say that this is a disease that really has been an issue for dogs' health for quite some time. And I remember when I graduated veterinary school back during the Clinton administration, how we tried to get people to
brush their dog's teeth. And we've been doing this for several decades now. And it's just difficult, but it's something that needs to be done. And we need to promote good oral health. And I sympathize with owners who want to do what's best for their dogs. And really, maintaining dental health is one of those things that you can do every day that's really going to impact the lifelong health of your dog. So it's really best if you can brush, but if you can't, or even if you can brush your dog's teeth, Orvet dental hygiene chews are an excellent adjunctive therapy to maintain dental health in dogs.
And it's giving a little bit of love at the same time. Never hurts.
It always helps for it to make for a pleasant experience with the owners and their dogs. And again, it just contributes to the human-animal bond.
Dr. Andrew Schreibman, Senior Technical Service Veterinarian for Mariel, thank you very much for being with us today. It's a subject people don't oftentimes think about, but I think after listening to you today, realize that it is so important. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz of The Pet Doctor. Thank you very much for listening. Please tune in again next week. We'll give you more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.